You're with SBS Radio.
On Saturday, New South Wales will head to the polls. It's the first elections where the Premier of the state is of Armenian descent. Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Haik Kayserian, will discuss the election and ANCA's work in preparation for the elections. Haik, do you think there is a heightened interest in our community on the elections because the Premier is of Armenian descent?
Hi, Vahe. Look, thank you for this opportunity. And I think that's the understatement of the century. I've never seen our community so involved, entrenched and excited and nervous in the lead up to a state election in New South Wales. Obviously, this is the first time we've had the leader of one of the major parties, the incumbent premier, being of Armenian descent, but not only of Armenian descent. I think we need to acknowledge that Gladys Berejiklian is somebody who was born into the community, grew up in the community, shared everything from scouts sessions to youth groups to memberships in several organizations with many members of our community. So I think somebody who was born from the community and is now at that position that she is in contesting as the incumbent premier has definitely heightened interest. And it's something that is very different for us as the Armenian National Committee, where we're interested in every single election. This is something that we've got to navigate in a very different way, because we acknowledge that what we have in front of us is a potential to be part of, you know, the history-making opportunity for, you know, our Gladys, and she really is our Gladys. I mean, we need to acknowledge a few things about Gladys Berejiklian. She is, by my understanding and research, the most powerful Armenian woman in world politics, not just here in New South Wales or in Australia, because she heads an executive branch of a state government that represents 7 million people, the largest state of a G20 nation. I don't think there is another female Armenian in a more senior and position of responsibility than what Gladys is in at the moment. Other than the fact that she grew up in our community, we all know her life story, because she hasn't really changed since being in elected office. She's given every opportunity to speak about her story and her lifetime. She's always used those opportunities to further the Armenian cause, to advance awareness in Armenian issues. I mean, grandmothers love her, you know, but dads love her, kids want to be her. I mean, we've all heard about the Australian dream. I think if there's an Armenian-Australian dream, I think in many ways it is Gladys. But this election is one where she's in the race of her life. I mean, everything that we're following in terms of the politics, the polls, and everything that's leading into it, it seems like it's definitely a challenge that is up against her government to stay in office. And if her government doesn't stay in office, then Gladys doesn't remain premier, and this is the race of her life. She's up against it, but if she does win, or if the coalition wins, she will be the first woman to lead a party, her party, to an election victory in New South Wales. So she'll be the first elected female premier of New South Wales. She'll be the first coalition leader to lead her party to a third term in office, and there'll be four more years of Gladys of the Armenian-Australian dream. So all of these things together heightens the interest of our community.
A re-elected Premier Berejiklian, what can achieve for the state and also the community?
Well, look, I think what we need to expect is more of the same from Gladys. You know, she's been in office now, I think, for 16 years, and we call her Gladys because, you know, we haven't changed the way we address her, because she hasn't changed her nature and what she's, you know, brought to the community as Gladys. And the things that we mentioned, you know, the what you see in the media every time she has an opportunity to make a speech or speak about her heritage, the fact that the Armenian genocide is always part of that, the fact that her parents are part of that, her family is part of that, her community is part of that, that's only what we see. The Armenian National Committee has been leaning on Gladys's expertise for many, many years, from a point of advice and sort of advising us about the right way forward in many issues. Her experience is invaluable. And many of the things that we've achieved in legislatures outside of New South Wales has had a stamp of Gladys on there. So I think we can expect more of what we have received. And regardless of what role Gladys is in, she's always going to be of benefit to the community. And naturally, the higher that position is, the better. I mean, in 2013, she helped us take a delegation of New South Wales parliamentarians, the first such Australian delegation, to Armenia and Artsakh. Gladys, along with her colleagues that went to Artsakh, are actually on the blacklist of Azerbaijan at the moment, and they wear that with a badge of honour because they've seen Artsakh, they've seen the people, and for them that's very, very important. That resulted in massive press coverage at the time and awareness for the rights to self-determination of the Armenians of Artsakh. She's been doing this for many, many years before being Premier, and since Premier, it's just more, and I think there'll be more of the same if she is elected. One thing that I will add, of course, we haven't stopped our activities despite this heightened interest, despite the fact that the Armenian-Australian community of New South Wales is rooting for Gladys to win and stay Premier. We have still gone to all the Armenian populated electorates of New South Wales. We have met with candidates who are the key candidates in those electorates. And we have made sure that regardless of the result, that the Armenian Australian community is going to be well served by the Parliament of New South Wales. We haven't shirked away from our responsibility because of the excitement that we have. And all of that, you know, nitty-gritty information, which is electorate by electorate, will be published later this week, where you can follow it on our website, anc.org.au, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ANC Australia, in our guide to the election. But, of course, the huge preamble to this election campaign for any Armenian is about the Premier and the fact that Gladys Berejiklian is in line to make history if the coalition does win it.
So you're going to publish a how to vote card at the end of the week?
Sure. Yeah, we publish an election guide, the Armenian National Committee's election guide, and that'll have basically an electorate by electorate view of the candidates, the records of those candidates towards Armenian issues, as well as the pledges that some of them have made. There's three primary categories that we have been lobbying or advocating in our meetings with candidates. As we know, New South Wales, thanks to the likes of Gladys and many others, including Walt Secord, Fred Nile, etc., has already recognised as a state the Armenian genocide on two occasions, in 97 and again in 2013. They've already recognised the right to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh in 2012. We've already got a friendship group there that is very active. They host delegations that come here from Artsakh, from Armenia. We've already taken a delegation to Armenia, as I said, and we intend to do the same during this coming term in Parliament. So we're talking about a Parliament that's generally quite friendly and knowledged in Armenian issues. I mean, just last year we honoured the New South Wales Parliament as the Armenian National Committee for 20 years of standing on the side of truth and justice when it comes to Armenian issues. However, the issues that we are addressing in this election campaign is basically more of the same to make sure that it's not just 20 years of standing on the side of truth and justice on Armenian issues. That continues for another 4 years and then hopefully another 20, 30, 50, 100 years. So we need to make sure that we have people going into the parliament or wanting to stay in the parliament who are aware and on the ball with our issues, with the Armenian genocide, similarly with Artsakh. And the third issue is more community-based issues. So, you know, we've got thriving communities across many electorates of New South Wales. The needs of our community in those areas are vast and varied, and the Armenian National Committee is relied upon to advance the issues of the organisations that are serving the communities. For example, in Ryde, there's an issue about a community centre evolving to a larger one, a similar sort of situation in Western Sydney, in the seat of Prospect. There is an Armenian school Golston College in the seat of Pittwater. So all of these matters, local community matters, are also being covered. And I think in with New South Wales, those are more of the nitty-gritty. But we do have overall, without going into the details of every single electorate on your radio program, Vahe, the electorate, the Armenian-Australian community, can be comfortable in that the New South Wales Parliament is a friend of the Armenian community. There is bipartisan support on Armenian issues. We expect that to continue, and also some of these projects that are local community-based will advance regardless of the result. And obviously all of this is being played in the backdrop of the first Armenian premier of any state in Australia trying to become the first elected female premier of the state of New South Wales.
Hayek, last week the world was shocked by the senseless violence in a place of worship. A point of concern for Armenians was the Armenian writing on one of the magazines the gunman used. What's ANCS position?
Sure. Obviously, that was shocking. It was something that made world news that a gunman decided to attack a place of faith and open fire on innocent Muslims in the city of Christchurch in New Zealand. Obviously, with the Armenian National Committee world, the ANC world, we do rely on our local representatives to come out with a statement. And the ANC in New Zealand came out with a very strong statement stating that such crusades have no place in our world. They unequivocally condemned what occurred and also declared their deepest condolences and offered their prayers for those who have been affected and the families of those who were killed on the day. What we also had to address, as in the Armenian world had to address, is that the gunman, the terrorist, decided that he is going to litter his gun, the assault rifle, with different battles where Christians have fought and defeated Muslims in throughout history. And among those battles or key personnel, generals that have been involved in those battles, there was Armenian writing referring to the Sarighamishi Jagadamat, or the Battle of Sarighamishi, which was actually a Russian battle at the time, but there were certain Armenians that were part of that army that fought against and defeated the Ottomans. There was no connection to Armenians other than the fact that there was a font or writing that was actually represented the Armenian language. I think it was some sort of an attempt by the terrorist to sort of justify his actions as a continuation of past wars or actions that have occurred based on various geopolitical climates over centuries, which is a far-fetched, something we absolutely reject. There is no way to justify an action or try to involve a community as peace-loving as we are as Armenians, as suffered as we are as Armenians, in this sort of a barbaric act against civilians. So we were quick to denounce that and reject the use of the Armenian language in any hate crime against people of any background whatsoever.
Hayek, last week ANCA launched the Armenian Professional Network. Could you give more information about the network and how professionals can participate?
Sure. That was a very uplifting event for us. The Armenian Professional Network, which is an ANC initiative, but it's actually got its own committee who are made up of professionals themselves. They basically tried to attract Armenian professionals in Sydney to come together for an evening of networking with each other, hoping that the simple liaising and conversing will lead to more business being done between Armenian professionals in Sydney, which will naturally grow the Armenian network. And to attract them there, or to have a little bit of a draw card for the event, Michael Carapet, who's a legendary investment banker in the Australian world and also with global acumen, he was actually the keynote speaker for that event. It was a very successful gathering. There was there were well over 120 people that attended the event. A lot of the people in the room were people I haven't seen before, which is always encouraging that, you know, through these sorts of networks we can attract, you know, new involvement, more involvement in our community. And I'm very much looking forward to the next one. The committee needs to be praised for the vision they showed, the effort they showed to make this thing a reality. And the ANC is just proud to be a part of it and back it. Because at the end of the day, what it is an opportunity to get Armenians to come together.
In the coming months, there are several major events that will take place from April 24 to the federal elections. How ANCA is preparing to these events?
Well, we're part of most of that. So in terms of, you're right, I mean, we've got the state election this week in New South Wales. The federal election is slated for May, although it hasn't been announced yet. And in between all of that, we have to commemorate and give just commemoration to the Armenian Genocide's 104th anniversary. So the event after the election is definitely the those that will be commemorating the Armenian Genocide in Sydney, Melbourne, and other parts of the country. What we're focusing on at the moment in terms of organising are two primary events in Sydney. One is the National Armenian Genocide Commemoration. That event will be held at the Chatswood Concourse on the 24th of April, as is tradition. And the keynote guest will be confirmed over the next 24 to 48 hours. It's most likely going to be somebody who has never spoken on this issue in Australia at our commemoration events before. So we're very excited to be able to reveal that. We're just working on the final details now. There'll also be the March for Justice, which is on the 28th of April in Sydney City, starting at Hyde Park and ending in Circular Quay. That usually attracts thousands of Armenians who march in remembrance of those who lost their lives and demand justice. Usually that demand is not just a call for justice, it's also a call for recognition by the government of Australia. So we'll definitely look to be involved in that as well and look to attract some mass participation to that event. Outside of that, there's the Melbourne Armenian Genocide Commemoration Evening, which will be held, I believe, on the 24th again this year. Our Melbourne branch is actively involved with many other organisations like We Are Here in organising that event. And there's a few other commemorations happening around the place in smaller Armenian pocket communities, including one in Brisbane and in Adelaide. So as it stands now, we're sort of in the organisation process, and you can follow armenia.com.au, Armenia Online, or anc.org.au, where all of the events will be published, as well as the information relating to those events. For example, buses for the march and the guests that are going to be speaking at the commemoration evenings, etc., they'll all be published on those websites.
Hike, last year a delegation from Armenia was scheduled to visit Australia, then it was cancelled. So it's going to happen this year?
Well, I hope so. There was the Armenian election that was called, which was the reason for that to be postponed. It was postponed, so there is definitely conversation still ongoing with the Foreign Ministry of Armenia about organising a delegation to come here. But there's also a reverse delegation in conversation as well, where we want to take Australian parliamentarians to Armenia. To make that a reality, we need the election to come and go, because at the end of the day, nobody can commit to visiting another country after the election as a member of parliament before they're re-elected or elected as a member of parliament. So what we're hoping for is after the state election, but more importantly after the federal election in this case, which will be at some point in May, we will be hoping to announce the first federal Australian delegation that will be visiting Armenia. Hopefully that will take place this year. It all depends on the scheduling after the election. So the delegation from Armenia to Australia, where, you know, the ANC was helping facilitate that, of course, and we're hoping that that will become a reality at some point this year as well.
Is ANCA hiring new staff?
Yes, we are. Thank you for mentioning that. We are hiring administrative assistants at the moment. Many people have come to know over the last nearly 18 to 24 months Michael Kolokosyan and Olivia Dilanchan, who have been mainstays in our office, as well as Alex Kalitsky, who's currently in Washington, D.C. There will come a time that all of these people will have to move on, because what we offer at the ANC for our younger staff, the administrative assistants, are part-time roles. And as their university finishes, most of those people look to full-time roles or look to travel, and that's what's happening in this case. Michael Kolokosyan will be moving on later this month. He'll be doing a long trip around the world before returning. And Olivia might be doing something similar from June this year. Alex is, as I said, already in Washington, D.C. So we're looking for new, young administrative assistants, people who are interested in politics or want to be learn more about the political process, to come work in our office for 2 or 3 days a week, take that experience and hopefully take, you know, roles like mine in the future. So for us, it's an opportunity, as much as we're always sad to see great staff go, and they generally are great staff. We see this as an opportunity to train new staff so that we have more options, more warriors of the Armenian cause.
Hi, thank you very much for the information and the interview.
Thanks, Aya.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.